and we are here to witness it, to sing and to pray and to give thanks to God, who is the bringer of new life, who is the light of the world. It is good to gather together today. Does everybody have their Christmas gifts on? I have my Christmas mug, my Christmas sweater, Christmas pants. Everybody got all your Christmas presents on? Did you have a good Christmas? It's the most wonderful time of year. And I hope that you might find peace in the midst of this season of peace, that you might find love and hope and joy. Today, we are worshiping in a new way. Not a bad idea on the eve of the eve of the new year. So I invite you to open your heart, your mind, and open your heart and mind to a new way of worshiping. This is a Lessons and Carols, which maybe you have experienced before, where there are readings, and then music, and then some more readings, and then some more music. And this is Lessons and Carols for our day, or Lessons and Carols in a new way. These are readings that I have gathered from workshops and from my journal entry and from books that I have read and shared. So I invite you to enjoy them. Maybe you won't like everything that you hear, but maybe you will have an opportunity to hear something new or to spark a new thought in your mind. The Lessons and Carols are kind of broken up into three sections, where we talk about Jesus, and then Jesus' work, and then the church. So I hope that you will enjoy. There are readers scattered all throughout our congregation, so simply enjoy and celebrate the season in a new way. I invite you now to turn your heart and your mind to God, to our Creator. I invite you to call one another to worship today. There are words printed in our bulletin, and I invite us to share them together responsibly. I'm the not bold parts, because you are the bold. Praise God. Praise God from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise God, all you angels of God. Praise God, all you hosts of heaven. Praise God, you sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, the highest heavens and the waters of the heavens.
Let them praise the name of God, for God commanded and they were created. God established them forever and ever. God fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise God from the earth, you silvery fish, and all the beasts, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's commands, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, animals of the forest and birds and all cattle, all things and flying birds.
spirit of prayer. I invite you to take a moment and turn your attention inward. And in your way, make your heart a place, a home for God. Welcome the Spirit into your heart and into your life. And it could be that this is a tender time for us as Christians, as humans, this eve of the new year. We are beginning something new, 2019. Did you ever think that would happen? I still write 2001 on my check sometimes. It's odd how long it takes me to grow accustomed to new things. It takes me a long time. So we begin to start the process of allowing for change. So maybe it is that we remember the week, the season that has passed. Or remember what has happened since we have gathered together in this space last. What have you done? Where have you been? What have you said? Who have you met? What have you not done? What have you not said? I invite you to remember all of the things from the past and give those to God. To be in this space, right in the middle, the threshold, some call it, of what has been and what will be. And this is the space where we gather as the body of Christ, where we help one another, we gently encourage one another to let go. And we gently, lovingly, with intention, listen together to where God is guiding us, where God wants us to go. And to do this, we encourage one another and love one another just as we are, with all of our hopes, our fears, our worries. We know one another, and we are gathered here with the intention of only wishing one another well. I invite you then to share aloud as you feel comfortable your joys and your concerns so that we who are gathered here can help share in your joy and help carry your burden. Are there joys or concerns that you would share at this time?
I have two concerns. One is for my dear friend Susan, who is gracefully living into her death. And my sister, who's 7 years older than I, whose husband was older than she died 2 days ago. It's good, but I'm sad. I'm very sad. I'm so glad I went there in September.
Hello. Most of you probably know that I have lung cancer, which is not too bad. I'm going to go down Thursday to have surgery. That's a good thing. So all your prayers would be great. Thank you.
Prayers for Linda. She's having minor surgery Wednesday morning. Thank you.
I'm going back to Florida next Saturday. That's a joy or a concern. Because it's Florida. So I guess prayers for a good semester, safe travel, etc.
Prayers of thanks that you've been here with us.
I'd like prayers for families that are grieving past losses during this holiday season. I have three dear families that I think of every year as they get through this season. It's difficult every year. Hopefully it gets easier, but how do you not grieve your loss during the holidays? So prayers for them.
This is a funny season. It's like a touchstone, you know. Comes back every year, and so you relive that. And prayers for the Eng family. Pat Eng died the day after Christmas, a couple hours into the day after Christmas. And her funeral will be here on Friday at 11 a.m. There will be a visitation at 10. And joy that I will be able to share in this service. I made a few changes, and I will be present at that service, so thank you. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can pray them together. Say, Holy One, we confess that we can miss the miracles of your goodness happening all around us. We can forget to ponder anew when we love the same old story over and over again so much. The joy that might be found in a new thing is also a little scary. Remind us that you are with us now and always. Help us to live with spirits of wonder and love and hope and joy and peace all year long. Open our hearts and minds again and again to the surprising presence of your grace. God comes to earth in a body, in our human bodies, and we can know God in our own bodies too. We celebrate the incarnation, and yet I'm also aware that some of you just don't want to touch each other because you're all gross and getting sick. So that's okay. That's part of the incarnation. When we celebrate the incarnation, we do that with our bodies. So I do encourage you to ask for, if you want to pat when you pass the peace, to, you don't have to, I mean, hugging is good. Always ask if somebody would like to be hugged. And also, a way to pass the peace, you can shake hands, high five, you can hip bump, you can elbow bump, you can, like, finger wave, like Bill and Ted. There are lots of ways of passing the peace. And you can experience the peace in your own body. Can you feel it down? Ooh, you get it for me? Yeah, that's the incarnation. We celebrate that when we pass the peace. Will you pass the peace of Christ? Yes. And your parents are so excited to see how excited you are by getting presents under the tree. I don't know that you know it right now, and maybe you do, but giving is as wonderful and as makes you as happy as getting presents does. I hope that when you enjoy the presents that you receive for Christmas, that you, when you play with your presents, that you think about the people who gave them to you, and that you can think about how you might express gratitude, how you might give back to the people that love you. Thoughts to think about in the new year. I hope you have a wonderful time. Merry Christmas and happy, happy new year. Do you have plans for a new year? Are you going to stay up till midnight?
New year party.
Oh, so fun.
I'm going to a birthday.
Oh, so fun. That's so great. Happy.
And the new year's party is on Monday.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing day. I hope you have a wonderful time. Merry Christmas. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for giving us wonderful gifts, for giving us moms and dads and families, sisters and brothers, people in our life who love us. Thank you for Jesus, who loves us too. Amen. And I think you're going to go. There's Macy. And there's Lori.
Jesus is what God looks like in sandals. John Donovan Rawson.
Real isn't how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you when someone loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful, when you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. From the Velveteen Rabbit.
From the very beginning, faith, hope, and love are planted deep within our nature. Indeed, they are our very nature. All exist in moments. But we have to awaken, allow, and advance this core identity by saying a conscious yes to it and drawing upon it as a reliable and absolute source. Image must become likeness. Our saying yes to such implanted faith, hope, and love plays a crucial role in the divine equation. Human freedom matters. Mary's yes seems to be essential to the event of incarnation. God does not come uninvited. God and grace cannot enter without an opening from our side, or we would be mere robots. God does not want robots, but lovers who freely choose to love in return for love. And toward that supreme end, God seems quite willing to wait, cajole, and entice. Father Richard Roy.
Thank you. parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor.
Barbara Brown Taylor says, "Jesus rose sturdily from his religious roots, not in spite of them. The temple became home for Jesus." What sense of identity does the church give to our children? What roots do they have in the church? There's also a generational dimension here, for there may be Simeons and Annas sitting there, just waiting for permission to say what they see when they look at the children of this congregation. Is church a place where we can, as Taylor says, talk together about things that matter? And are we paying enough attention to the young people in our midst who may have gifts and thoughts to share with us, and who need the church to recognize what their parents might miss in an everyday, close-up relationship? Are we helping our young people to discern God's gift in them and God's call to use them for the sake of the reign of God? Catherine Matthews Healy.
Thank you.
Jesus as a teenager. It's one thing to love and admire little baby Jesus, and another thing to admire and follow adult Jesus, but it is something totally different to think about Jesus teenager. Teenager Jesus. But it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So there was a moment, there was a season of his life when, maybe you can imagine it, Jesus was an awkward teen. I was in Super One a couple of weeks ago, and I had this awakening. I don't know why I have so many awakenings at Super One, but I seem to. I was at the deli minding my own business when I looked up, and there was a pack of teenagers coming right at me. And I thought, oh boy, it's going to get real around here really quick. So I called Steve, and I'm like, Steve, there's a pack of teenagers coming at you. What do I do? And he said, knock it off, you big weirdo. They're just teenagers. What is your problem? When did it become that all of the teenagers became suspicious? When did I start calling my friends asking how to help me deal with the pack of unruly wild teenagers? When did I get to be so old? How did that happen? So I invite you to take a moment. And don't be like me, but to take a moment and think about spiritual growth and maybe your own spiritual growth or lack of. And maybe take a moment and think about some of the good things about that you can recognize and see in the youth, in our community, in our church, in our world. Take a moment, turn to the person next to you. Maybe even if you don't want to do that, if you don't like them, that's fine. Don't have to tell them. Just tell them you're meditating in your own heart. But meditate in your own heart or with the person next to you and think about what were you like as a teenager? And then talk about some of the good things that you can recognize in the youth that you know. You can do this. Just take a few minutes. Have friends who live all over the world, which is amazing.
enthusiasm.
Energy and enthusiasm. We love it. We love our youth, right?
Instead of being brought before God and led to acquire a taste for the holy, mysterious transcendence in worship, we are taught to and promoted endlessly to do this or that. We are recruited for the church roles and positions in which we can validate our presence by our usefulness. Why did you use my hunger for God to recruit me for the religious prospects? Why did you flatten my longing for God and the explanations that will keep me in place? Every religious community has its dead spots. Your task is to dig wells in the desert.
Do not wait for other leaders. Do it alone. Person to person, journal entry 2013. Justice is what love looks like in public or in the workplace.
Love cannot remain by itself and has no meaning. Love is to be put into action, and that action is service. Mother Teresa.
Hardly a week goes by without someone saying to me, "Rabbi, I'm not a religious person, but I'm spiritual." They assume I will be happy. And I always ask these people how much money they donate to help people in need, or the last time they visited a hospital to see if anyone needed a sympathetic ear, or about their diet and what they're doing to minimize animal cruelty, environmental pollution, and exploitation of third world laborers. Their usual response is that these things have nothing to do with spirituality. On the contrary, without care of the world and the healing of it, spirituality is a self-serving waste of time. Rabbi Ramai Shapiro.
The task of religion is not to turn us into proper believers. It is to deepen and open our hearts to embrace the power of life, to expand our consciousness in order that we might see things that the eyes don't normally see. It is to seek a humanity that is not governed by a need for security, but it is expressed in our ability to give ourselves away. John Shelby Spahn.
Love came down at Christmas.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Being privately spiritual but not religious does not interest me. There is nothing challenging about having deep thoughts all by yourself. What is interesting doing this work in community, where people call you on stuff or, heaven forbid, disagree with you. Where life with God gets interesting and provocative is when you dig deeply into tradition you did not invent all by yourself for yourself. So the next time I'm on a flight to anywhere, could I sit next to someone brave enough to encounter God in human community? Because when this flight gets choppy, I want someone by my side, holding my hand, saying a prayer, and putting up with me and my peers, just like we do at church. Reverend Lillian Daniels.
There are announcements in your bulletin. And the announcement is that, maybe surprise, surprise, I'm going to be on a flight tomorrow to Florida. I'll be gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm coming back Thursday night. And Pat Eng's funeral service will be Friday morning at 11 a.m. Are there other announcements you'd like to share? I see Barb and Rob, but Rob's right here, so I'll bring him first.
Three announcements.
Today, 52 years ago today, Mary and I got married. We were two believers. The other announcements, next week's a family meeting. Yeah, I don't know about you, but we always have family meetings. And we'll kick off the stewardship campaign, Pete Bergman heading that up again this year. First thing, next Sunday, we'll be talking about stewardship. It'll run for 3 weeks. It's a very short campaign, so please plan on attending and hearing about stewardship. And then after the service next Sunday, we'll have coffee and refreshments, but we'll be talking about starting our own nursery school. As you know, the nursery school is now gone from our church here, and we put a lot of energy and effort into looking at options on how we can use the space, replace the income. And one of those options is to start a nursery school that would be owned and sponsored by Hope United Methodist Church. So I hope you'll make every effort to attend. We'll have a presentation with Carolyn Prescott and be looking at some numbers and what it can mean to the church, and then taking the time to answer your questions as we discern whether or not this is a good decision for Hope. Thank you.
It's been brought to my attention that the Ng family would like us to keep the Christmas fresh until the funeral is over. So if you're planning to take your poinsettia home today, if you could possibly leave it until next week, that would be appreciated. But if you do have to take it today, please do, and I will rearrange it a little bit. But let's keep it Christmas for the Ings.
I can use and actually need more people to come to the grief group, because the first session is Monday, January 7th. So think about it. It'll be really lovely.
And while I'm away, nothing can happen. But if it does happen, you can call the office. Reverend Cynthia Coffin Langdon is on call for me. Let's join to sing Once in Royal David City. This is my grandmother's favorite hymn. I invite you to rise as you are able, in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
May you grow in love, hope, joy, and peace.